The epistle for the first Sunday of Lent is taken from St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, the sixth chapter. Brethren, we do exhort you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he hath said, In an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let us give no offense to any man, that our ministry be not blamed. But in all things let us exhibit ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulation, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in prisons, in seditions, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, in chastity, in knowledge, in long-suffering, in sweetness, in the Holy Ghost, in charity unfeigned, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the armor of justice on the right hand and on the left, through honor and dishonor, through evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as needy yet enriching many, as having nothing and possessing all things. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the fourth chapter. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And the tempter coming said to him, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Who answered and said, It is written, Not in bread alone doth man live, but in every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, and set him upon the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He hath given his angels charge over thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest perhaps thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And the devil took him up to a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said to him, All these I will give thee, if falling down thou wilt adore me. Then Jesus said to him, Begone, Satan, for it is written, The Lord thy God shalt thou adore, and him alone shalt thou serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. At that time, Jesus was led into the desert by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Tomorrow is the feast of St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas Aquinas was one of the most brilliant men to ever be created by God. In fact, he's second in brilliance only to our father Adam, who God created as the most brilliant to be the first head of the human race. And in an encyclical named Aeterni Patris, Pope Leo XIII wrote a great deal about St. Thomas, explaining just why he was such a great doctor of the faith and explaining to the whole Catholic Church how we should revere St. Thomas's intellect, his genius, and his theological opinions. During the Council of Trent, actually, which is the council that gave us our Latin Mass as we celebrate it, the Tridentine Mass, as you may hear it called, during that council, something happened that had not happened in any other council of the Church and hasn't happened since. And what happened was when the Pope and the bishops who were at the council decided to take for themselves what were going to be the theological works that they were going to use to guide themselves in making their decisions. They took, of course, the Holy Bible, and they put it on the altar as the greatest source for Catholic theology. But then they took the Summa of St. Thomas, his greatest work, and they placed that on the altar as well at Trent in order to say to the fathers who would decide the questions the fathers who had come up with the Roman Catechism, as I mentioned, with our Mass, and with many of the other ordinances that came down from that council, they used St. Thomas's work to help them in making their decisions. That gives you some idea of just what a great saint St. Thomas was, and how great was his intelligence and his scope when it came to writing on theology. Well, St. Thomas did not start his life as a religious very easily or very quickly. In fact, he started his life as a religious very similar to, as we read in today's gospel, to how our Lord started his public life. And that was, he first had to go through a very grave temptation. You see, he was the cousin of the Holy Roman Emperor. He was a nobleman, and he came from a very wealthy family. As he grew up, though, he got it into his head that he wanted to join the Order of Preachers, which was a relatively new order in the church. St. Dominic had only founded it about 50 years before. And his family was completely disgusted by the idea. They were horrified that one of their sons, a great nobleman, was going to, as they thought, throw his life away and join this unknown order of preachers. So they locked him up in what we would call today house arrest. They put him in one of the rooms of the castle with no way out. He persevered, though, each time that they would go and ask him if he wanted to give up the idea of becoming a monk and become some sort of lawyer or great man of the world. Things got so bad, and the family was so far removed from the true Catholic idea of what a vocation is, that they actually sent to his room a person, a woman who was to tempt him, to try to get him to fall so far into sin that he would never be able to join religious life. Now that's almost unbelievable, but sadly, down through the centuries and even in our day, some Catholic families think that a religious vocation is some sort of stigma or something to be shied away from, that there are better things that a person can do with their life than embrace a vocation. And the family of Aquino, they were of that mindset. Well, St. Thomas, with his great courage, his great faith, and his great trust and love for Almighty God, he went over to a fireplace that was in that room in the castle, and he took out a flaming brand. Now, how he was able to hold the brand is never really explained, but he chased the person out of his room, down the steps, and out of the castle. And after that, angels actually came, and he was given a cord to show that he had overcome one of the greatest temptations against holy purity and against his vocation. And succeeding in overcoming that temptation, St. Thomas then spent almost a whole year still under house arrest until his sisters had mercy and compassion on him. And actually, the Pope and the Holy Roman Emperor wrote to the family telling them that what they were doing was scandalous. And the sisters let him down by a rope out of a window, and he was able to escape to the Dominican monastery, begin his life, and be the great saint that God had wanted him to be. As I mentioned, he started that road to being the greatest theologian the church has by overcoming a temptation that's almost unimaginable, and by persevering with patience through the daily trial of being put in prison by his own family. And my dear friends, as we read in the gospel, our Lord too decided to show us a good example of how to overcome temptation by starting his public life, as it were, allowing himself, as the gospel says, the Spirit brought him into the desert to be tempted. When our Lord went out to the desert, the fast that he took was not like the fast that we are in now. There are some main meals, some lesser meals, things like that. He used his divine power to actually sustain himself, and he went that 40 days with no food and no water. He wanted to bring himself down to the greatest point of weakness. He wanted to bring himself to a point to show us for ourselves how weak we can be without God's grace and without God sustaining us. He wanted to be as close to us as he could be, because of course he could never fall into sin. But by that fast, he allowed himself such a terrible weakness that it was then that God's divinity allowed Satan to come and tempt him. And what we learn from this temptation of our Lord, we can keep in mind for ourselves. The temptation works in a three-step process. First, there is the thing that is forbidden, or thing that we must avoid, that is brought to our attention. That's the first part of any temptation. Something that would turn us away from the will of God is brought to our attention. It is then and there that we have to make sure we remove ourselves from that thing, that we pay no attention to it. But if a person pays attention to it, the next step of the proposal is that they take some joy in it, or that they take joy even in the idea of giving into whatever was presented to themselves. And once a person is comfortable with giving into the idea, the third step, and when temptation becomes a sin, is when they actually give into it, when they actually accept that thing that was trying to turn them away from the will of God. This is what Satan tried to do to our Lord. He tried to present him with food while he was unimaginably hungry. He tried to tempt him with power and great wealth. And he tried to tempt him with all the things of the world. And at each time, our Lord showed us the course that we have to take during time of temptation. He immediately did not pay any heed to what Lucifer had to say. He used the words of sacred scripture, which we do not necessarily have to use. For us, it is more prayer, especially prayer to our Blessed Mother and our patron saints. But our Lord immediately turned to prayer to banish each and every one of these temptations. And he would not give Satan even a moment's due. Unlike Eve in the garden, who first became enamored with the tree, then she listened to the serpent and his lies that she would become like God, she followed along the three-step process. But our Lord showed us that if we are going to have success, we have to work immediately, we have to pray during time of temptation, and we have to turn away from whatever it is that could be leading us away from God. It's very important to realize that there is this three-step process, my dear friends, because many times, especially in our lives today, things will be presented either right in front of our senses or to our imagination. And if we think that that presentation is a sin in itself, then we would fall into the trap that Martin Luther fell into, thinking that every temptation is a sin. And that could lead us down a very slippery slope of despair. But when we realize that the thing presented to us is not sinful in itself until we begin to take attention of it or give into it, then we can have that great hope that with God's help and our efforts, we can and we will overcome any temptation. This our Lord showed us in the desert, as we read in today's gospel. No matter how weak we might be, weak as he was after a 40-day fast, we can still overcome any temptation if we use the same means that he did. Immediate flight and prayer to God, Our Lady, or one of our patron saints. So then, in the world today, as we face a great deal of temptation of every kind, there's temptations against patience, temptations against our faith, our morals. Of course, there are abounding temptations against holy purity and chastity. When these seem to be overwhelming, think to yourself that our Lord himself already willed to have external temptations placed before him so that he could show you the path. And great saints like St. Thomas Aquinas and all the other saints, they too have endured great and terrible trials of temptation, but they came through it with the help of God's grace and with their efforts. And you too can do the same if you put those same means into effect. So during this next holy season of Lent that we are now in, take very seriously our Lord's example. Take very seriously the fact that the church places this gospel at the beginning of Lent for us to see, so to speak, the path that we are to take. And as you persevere through Lent, every time you pray and turn away from temptation, you will be gaining grace and merit. And you will be offering up to our Lord those acts of self-control that will so please him and will make up for all that he endured for us during the terrors of his passion, his agony, and his death. And if you do this, as you've heard many times from the pulpit, he will repay you 100-fold when he brings you into everlasting happiness. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.